got a sermon this morning and something that I feel is for us, but in all honesty, if it's from me, like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be a part of that as much. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning, right? He has a word for us. He is here, tangible, expressed in our presence. That excites me. That excites me. That's the very power of everything we know, that the Holy Spirit is with us, here to transform us, here to be with us. Who was the lady who was playing the flute? Is she still in the room? She walked out for a moment. That's all right. I want to encourage her, but I'll wait till she's back. Let's pray this morning because, again, less of me, more of him. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we get to gather in your presence this morning. Lord, I just want to ask that this is all you this morning. Lord, we want to partner with you. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be soft towards you this morning. Lord, that when you bring your word, you transform us, as uncomfortable as that may be at times. Lord, may we be soft to your word, receptive to it, Lord, so that we may be a transformed people that look beautiful as your bride. I pray that we as the church would be a great and beautiful message to the community around us. This morning, more of you, God, more of you. We want to hear you. We want to partner with you. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, is she back? There she is. Oh, what's your name up the back? The flute player. Cindy? Awesome. Cindy, I just wanted to encourage you this morning. When you were playing the flute, I felt peace. I really felt peace. And the story that actually came to mind, I had to go and check it out quickly on my phone. I wasn't texting anybody just in case you thought I was. But I remembered when David would play the harp for Saul. When something dark would come on Saul, or there'd be a demonic presence or something tumultuous, something troubling going on, David would play the harp and there'd be a change. There'd be a shift in the atmosphere. There'd be a shift in Saul. He would shift. And I just felt that as you played the flute this morning, that was true of this place. It's actually true. You got a really beautiful gift when you're playing the flute in particular. So I'll give you a bit of warning. Perhaps you could come and play for us at the end of the service. I think that'd be beautiful because I believe God wants to bring his presence. And when his presence comes, peace comes. Peace comes. And how many of us know that what the world around us needs is peace? You know, I'm excited about that this month has been a month centered on outreach. Centered on focusing on what God might want to do out there and in here. But the truth is that revival doesn't start out there. The truth is revival starts in the heart of believers. When we're a transformed people, when we're changed from the inside out, when we carry that peace that we proclaim, when we carry that peace that we know from the Word of God, Narendra will be saved. It's actually true. Narendra truly can be saved, and there is not a single person that is outside the reach of God. Do you believe that? It's awesome. Then if our hearts are soft to the Lord, he can make us the people we need to be. He can transform us. That's cool, right? So this morning, I want to talk about real love. Real love. Not the kind of love that's sentimental or soppy, right? I mean, that's a part of love, I suppose. But I want to talk about real love. The kind of love that's not just there when the weather is fair and nice, but the kind of love that God has for people. The kind of love that God has for people on stormy days when life is not perfect. When we have been far from perfect. There is a real love that God has for us. I'm not talking about Valentine's Day kind of love. Does anybody actually like Valentine's Day? Anybody? My wife loves Valentine's Day. She loves it. And I don't. So it makes for very awkward Valentine's days. But I want to talk about the kind of love that's tangible, a kind of love that's expressed. I want to talk this morning, I want to talk about a prophet by the name of Hosea. I want to talk about a prophet named Hosea who has a radical love for a woman. And I love the prophets. The reason I love the prophets is because, you know, they don't just speak the word of God. if you've read the prophets, they do crazy things, right? Isaiah gets naked. Ezekiel lies on his side for days on end. And as we're going to see this morning, Hosea does something crazy because he loves a woman. And he is going to be our picture this morning. You know, God has it that we would be a prophetic people. I actually felt like this is not the whole sermon, but I wanted to encourage Narendra, because God would have us be a prophetic people. He would have us be people that not only proclaim the gospel, that is the word, the good news of God, but he wants us to be a people that embodies it. He wants us to be a prophetic people who will pour our lives into the picture, so that everybody who looks on can see the very heart of God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes about an encounter that he had with the Thessalonians. He writes back to them and says, he says, being affectionately desirous of you. He says, I love you guys. Because we loved you so much, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, he says, but also our own selves. We gave our whole life because you had become dear to us. It's a twofold message this morning. I want to tell you just how much God loves you. And in doing so, it's my hope too that as the people of God, we would embody that message for other people. They would come to see how much God loves them by the actions of our lives. Because when you're in love, you do crazy things, don't you? You put your life on the line. I remember when I was 15 years old, this girl had caught my eye. And I thought she was beautiful. I was infatuated with her. She was just amazing to me. She could do no wrong. And I remember she invited me over to her house to watch a DVD one day. And I thought, this is it. I'm in. This is awesome. I'm going to go and hang out with this girl. This is going to be great. And so I went over to her house and she said, what DVD should we watch? Now, keeping in mind, I'm a 15-year-old guy. So I'm thinking explosions, I'm thinking action, I'm thinking car chases, anything like that. Arnold Schwarzenegger sounds good. That's what I want to watch. And then she pulls out this DVD and she says, how do you feel about Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron? Now, I don't know if you know that movie, but that's a cartoon movie about horses. And 15-year-old me is not too interested in cartoon horses and Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. But I'm in love, remember? I'm in love. So before I know it, the word's out of my mouth. Of course I want to watch that. That's exactly what I want to watch. Put the DVD on. Like, this is going to be good. Because I love her. And so we put on the DVD and we watched this movie. And if my memory serves me correctly, I remember that we sat side by side and my pinky was touching her pinky. And it was electric. I was like, oh my goodness, this is the best day of my life. Like, seriously, I'm 15 years old and this girl is just, she's amazing. But it gets crazy. It gets even more stupid because I'm so in love with her. I get to the end of the movie and it's finished. And like, once was bad enough. I'll tell you that much. But she goes, what do you want to do? Do you want to watch it again? And I'm like, yes. We watched the same movie back to back twice. And I wouldn't have changed a thing. Like, when you're in love, you just pour everything into it. I actually watched the end of the story, actually. That was when we were 15. 8 years later, we got married. Yeah, that was awesome. So it paid off. It paid off, you know. I would watch it 100 times over. In fact, however many years later, what, 13 years later, no, I'm not that old, 8 years later, however long, 2 weeks ago, we watched it again, and it hasn't got any better, I'll tell you that much. Seriously, she went and bought it specifically, we didn't have it anymore, and she went, we're going to watch this tonight. I went, great, that's awesome. I read a book and pretended like I was watching. But when you're in love, you do crazy things. And God is desperately and madly in love with people. He truly is. And this morning, he wants to paint a picture for us. I want us to feel what he feels. I want us to try to the best of our ability to understand what he has done for us. Because when that is true and when we are moved by that, that's the very change that our world needs. That's the very change. A real people truly moved by the goodness, the grace, and the very real love of God. So if I asked you the question, how would God describe his relationship with you? How might you answer it? There's lots of different illustrations in the Bible. Maybe you sort of immediately go to something like master and servant. Maybe you go commander and soldier. Maybe you go friend. Maybe you go acquaintance. And perhaps there's, you know, nuances of truth in some of those ones. But how would you feel if God said, the relationship by which I choose to reveal myself, the relationship that speaks of how I want to be known by you, is marriage? How would that change the way you see God? Because that's our picture this morning. And we know that the church of God, those who have been saved by Jesus, are called the bride of Christ. God's heart is that we would see we are married to Him. He chose marriage, the intimate, the most intimate relationship of them all. The one that is mutually exclusive. No one else can share in it. It is to be between one man and one woman. He says, that's the picture. That's what I want with you. That's what He wants to say to us this morning. But I'm forewarning, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Because remember, I said this is real love. And real love manifests itself not only in the blue skies and the green pastures and on beautiful days, but through the bumpy ride of life. And if I can be honest, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me, that I know that my life has been far from perfect. I know that in my heart, at times I have wandered from God. In my actions, I have wandered from God. But there is a truth that remains, and that is undying love for people. He is true. He is faithful. And it'd be my heart that we feel that afresh this morning. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, He said to him, go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshipping other gods. Just feel it for a sec. And if you're shocked by that, you're supposed to be shocked. Because this was not supposed to be the perfect image. This was supposed to be a very real and telling picture. God wants to show the nature of His commitment to people. And this morning, it's my hope that we can be honest with any way that we may have wandered from Him. Whether it's big or small, don't hold it back. The truth of the Bible is that if we are faithful to confess, God is faithful to forgive. He's always there for us, never ending. It was an amazing message that we got this morning for communion. He's that good. He's that good. And the world around us needs to know that He is truly that good. And so the two words that pop up to me and again grab my attention in this is marry and prostitute. Marry. Hosea, I want you to marry a woman named Gomer. I want you to marry this woman. I want you to give yourself to her completely. No reserve, he says. I want you to give to her your whole life. I want you to give to her every little bit of yourself. I want you to be committed to her. Unending, unstoppable, just like marriage today. I want you to give yourself to her entirely. And the second word is prostitute. Now, what's present in that word? What's the picture that God is trying to show? Well, prostitute is unfaithful. Prostitute is a wanderer. Prostitute is one with many partners. A heart that's gone astray. And so that there's no mistake this morning, Hosea will be our representative of God. And Gomer will represent me. And perhaps Gomer will represent you in some way, shape, or form. Again, the gospel of God does two things often. Because can you feel the tension? Like, Jeremy's probably going, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have invited Josh. Didn't know he was going to come here and call everybody prostitutes. Like, that's not what I envisioned, right? But the truth of the gospel is this, that it both offends and affirms. Because first, we've got to see that sometimes there's something wrong, right? There's something that's gone askew. There is a tension between our relationship with God. At times we are distant. That's the very nature of humanity. That's why people must know the gospel, because they have been torn from the presence of God. And first, we need to see that that has happened. But second is that the gospel affirms, because your worth and your value and the value of all the people I can see just across the road, who God knows the hairs on their head, He knows everything about them. It also affirms their value. because their value is not found in anything they could do, nor do they forfeit their value through the mistakes that they've made. The gospel says your value is not found in what you do, but in what God has done for you. And so the power of the gospel is that it elevates our value far beyond anything we could have ever imagined. God loves you. He loves me. He loves Narendra. He loves your family. He loves your children. He loves us. And so that's our picture for this morning. Chapter 2, 5 says, their mother is a shameless prostitute and become pregnant in a shameful way. She said, I'll run after other lovers and sell myself for food and water, for clothing of wool and linen, and for olive oil and drinks. True to form, exactly what God said happens. You see, he's painting a picture. Think about it. I kind of have this picture of Hosea, although it's not present in the scripture, but you see how God is painting the picture in his life. There's a few areas that God asks to paint the picture. It's like Hosea puts on the painting smock and takes out the paintbrush and he says, I'll paint it. I'll give my life to this message. I'll show it to the people. And the first was, marry Gomer. It's shocking. And Gomer, true to form, runs away. And where it starts with is a wandering in her heart. Her heart's been captured by something other than her husband. It says that I will go away and I will love another. I'll run after other lovers. I want to ask the Holy Spirit this morning if any of us have done that in any way, shape, or form. Because that's where it begins. Our hearts get captured by something other than the beauty of God. And what does it manifest as? What does it begin to look like? Well, it says, sell myself to them for food and water, for clothing of wool and linen, and for olive oil and drinks. She looks elsewhere for her provision, her food and water. She looks elsewhere for her protection, the very clothes on her back, the security in her life. And she looks elsewhere for the oil and the fancy drinks or whatever it might be, for her pleasure. Protection, provision, and pleasure. She no longer runs to her husband for these things. Instead, she tries to do her own thing. That's the picture. Now, I could list so many things in my own life this morning that God is working on. And I could list and hope that I kind of strike a few here this morning, but I don't want to do that because you have the Holy Spirit. And I want us to ask, is that true in any way, shape, or form? Because God will start revival here. And when we look beautiful as he intends us, and when we grow in that relationship, Narendra will know him. Narendra will see his very character and his nature. There's this picture in Ephesians chapter 4. Is this good? We're with me? Yeah? Awesome. There's this picture in Ephesians chapter 4 that just came to me this morning that I thought I should make mention of. I won't spend long here. But like it says, I'll run after another lover. Another lover. When we think of love, we think of heart. Her heart goes astray. And I remembered the picture in Ephesians chapter 4. You can read about it yourself later if you like. Chapter 17 through to verse 24. It says that it kind of draws this picture between those that believe and know God and those that don't. Those that don't, it says that they're darkened in their understanding. It says that they're darkened in their thinking and separated from the life of God. That's what it is to be apart from God. And then it has this phrase in there. It says that their hearts have become callous, or that their hearts have lost the sensitivity to God. They can't feel him anymore. And I remember what it's like. I don't play the guitar. I'm not a musical person whatsoever. But when you do sit down to try and have a bit of fun and play it, I got soft, dainty little fingers. So I haven't played very much. And when you first play the guitar, it hurts. Especially if you're trying to get good at it. What happens after a period of time is that you build calluses on your fingers, and what used to hurt doesn't hurt anymore. And that's the picture of the heart, he says, that when we're away from God, what used to cut us and what we used to actually feel, he says, if our heart become callous, we'll no longer feel it. Our whole life can take a trajectory away from God. And God wants us to be sensitive to his Spirit. He wants us to feel what it is that he's saying to us so that we can come home. If you have a soft heart this morning, you're in a brilliant place. You're in a brilliant place. Listen to how God calls us home in every area and place of our life. So this is the picture that God is trying to communicate. A woman running after other lovers. Think of those three things. Provision, protection, and pleasure. No longer found within the bonds of marital intimacy. She's run from Hosea. Hosea, I don't want you. Hosea, I don't want to be with you. Hosea, I'll look for my stuff elsewhere. Thank you very much. That's the picture. And it goes on. If you didn't think it was rough enough, God says, Hosea, put on the smock again. Take out the brushes. We're going to paint another picture. Hosea has a child with this woman, Gomer. And then she has two more. And we don't know if they're the product of adultery. We don't know if they're the product of Hosea. But the truth is she has three children. And God says, we're going to paint again, Hosea. I want to paint a picture. And this is where it gets rough. God begins to paint the picture of what life is when we are separated from him. He says, I want you to name them this. Jezreel, Lo Ruhama, Lo Ami. Jezreel was a place. He says, I want you to name the first son a place. A place where there was a lot of death. A place where there was no life. It was a place where a big fight had taken out and a lot of people died. He says, name the first one that. And he was bringing to the mind of people that your life is only found with your husband. It's the only place you can have life. He says of the second one, which is a daughter, call her not loved. And the third one, not my people. This is heartbreaking, isn't it? That's an intense message to bring. But God says, this is the nature of being apart from me, of being separated from me. He lays it out so that they can see life with him and life without him. Life in his presence and life pulled apart from his presence. And he says, it doesn't have to be this way. Hosea chapter 1:10 says this, yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands on the seashore. Too many to count. Then at the place where they were told, you are not my people, it will be said, you are children of the living God. Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves and they will return from exile together. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in the land. Can you see this reversal? God says, those who it was said not loved, you will be loved. Those of whom it was said, you are not my people, you will be my people. And then he says, great is the day of Jezreel. The place where there was death, I'm going to make a new people. And there's going to be life that springs forward from that place. That is the heart of God. Now, I've got to be honest with you. When I first read Hosea, I had no idea what was going on. Absolutely no idea. And I mean this with sincerity and not to be rude or anything. I said to God, are you bipolar? Like, what do you want? I was being honest with him because it looks like he's bouncing backwards and forwards. If you read it, he says, this is what happens when you're not with me, not my people, but I want you, I love you, come home, but not my people and not loved, but I love you. And I thought, what are you doing, God? Make up your mind. Are we in or are we out? That's what I felt like until I remembered the picture. Until I remembered what he is saying. This is a real God. This is not a message. This is a God who feels and is madly in love with us. I want to put a picture up. I think I've got it there. Let's have a look. That's on my wedding day. I look like a dork, but my wife looks beautiful. She looks amazing. And when I was reading this, I thought, I've got to put myself in the story again. The picture is marriage. God has said marriage. God said, I want to give myself to you fully and wholly, no matter what you do. And I remembered this picture, and that's my beautiful wife. I love her so much. And I put myself in the story, and I thought to myself, what would I do? What would it be like if she was unfaithful to me? I began to think on not just if she ran away from me, but her heart was captured by someone else. She loved someone else and she didn't care anymore. She wasn't even repentant. What would that do to me? What if she said to me, no longer will I get my protection or provision from you, Josh. Like, I don't care. I'm out of here. What would I do? And then the picture came alive. Do you know what I would do? I'd be furious to begin with. How dare you leave me? What do you mean you're leaving me? Why would you leave me? And then I'd get on my knees and I'd bawl my eyes out. And I'd call her home. Come back. Like, are you kidding me? Come back. What's happening? And then I'd go, oh, fine. Like, whatever. Like, I'd bounce between the two. I'd go angry, sad, come home, stay away. This is the heart of a very real God. Our actions, He feels them. He loves us. He's not a mechanical God that says in and out. He's not a God that says, well, you did wrong, so karma, off you go, done and dusted. This is a God of real love. This is a God who knows the hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts and your heart, and He loves you all the same. He is committed to you, no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, no matter what people in this community have done or thought or said. He is committed to them. But it's real, isn't it? It's real. I was going to... Are we good? Are we feeling this? I feel that there's something in here. I don't know if it's for an individual or if it's for a collective group of people. I was going to skip over this, but I do have it here, so I'm going to read it. In God's love, this beautiful thing happens. God begins to frustrate Gomer's idols. He begins to frustrate her plans. He begins to bring to an end all the things that she's trusted in, because the truth is that God is the provider. God is the one who brings the grain. God is the one who loves and supports. And so He begins to frustrate Gomer and her plans. It kind of sounds like God is meddling in her affairs, but He is desperate that she return. He actually says, I don't have this one up here, but He says that He leads her into the wilderness. And He says in that place, I'm going to woo her again. I'm going to speak to her tenderly. I'm going to love her. In chapter 2, 6 to 8, it says, for this reason, I will fence her in with thorn bushes. I'm going to block her path to make it with a wall to make her lose her way. When she runs after other lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them but not find them. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything that she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal. In the book of Jeremiah, God sums up the sin of people and the sin of everybody, our brokenness, our separation from God, in two things. It's in chapter 2, in verse 13, He says, people have committed two sins, and that is that they have forsaken God. That's the heart going astray. That's looking to love another lover. And He says the second is that we look to make our own wells. We look to find our satisfaction and our purpose and our sustenance in our own cisterns, and they cannot hold water. And one of the most loving things God can do is dry up the well of a false god. And I just felt, I don't know who it is this morning, and I would love for you to come and speak to me. Maybe there's more people. But I felt that you've walked a path for a period of time. I honestly don't know. I could be wrong. But you've walked a path for a period of time that hasn't sat well with you. And there's been a habitual sin or a tension in your relationship with God. And it's finally not working anymore. You've entered into a season of frustration. And things are actually falling a little bit apart. I want you to know that the season of God's wooing is beginning again. That God wants to lead you into the wilderness by the hand and speak tenderly to you. The picture actually in the book of Hosea is that God goes out and He begins to sing over us. He begins to talk softly to us. Come back, come back. I'm the one who provided for you. Everything you need will be found in me. And so at this point, the final picture, the final one. In the first three chapters of Hosea, you can understand the entire book. The whole picture is there. In chapter 3, Hosea is presented with a decision to make. It turns out that Gomer isn't just sleeping around. She's really with someone. She's bunked up with someone now. She's owned by another man. She loves another man. It's full-blown adultery. She's gone. No ties anymore. Now, that might be the picture sometimes for our lives, but it's most certainly the picture for humanity without Christ. A complete division and a complete separation. And God says, Hosea, sure, you could divorce her and you'd be just in doing so. She did the wrong thing. But remember, this morning we're talking about real love. And while people and myself, I have been unfaithful, God is never unfaithful. God is always good. God is always firm on his promise. And he says to Hosea, put on the smock again, take out the paintbrushes. I've got one more picture for you to paint. He says, do not divorce her. This is exactly what he says. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to me, Hosea, go and show your love to your wife again. That is always just the case with God, isn't it? Show your love again and again and again and again, because he is a faithful husband and he is a loving God. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her, love her, love her, as the Lord loves the Israelites. Hosea, paint the picture again. Be scandalous and be crazy. I want you to love her. I want you to show to the world, I want you to show to the Israelites, I want you to show to the people of God that I will love my people, though they have broken the covenant. I will never break the covenant. I will come after you. That is the beautiful message of the gospel. It is that God pursues people. What happens here is just outlandish. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. That is actually the price of a slave. How often is that the truth, that when our hearts go astray, it's like it feels good for a time. It feels good for a season for us to do as we feel, whether that's with sensual things or whether that's with we're just going to get our security elsewhere. Whatever it is, it feels good for a period of time. It is a lover and our hearts go astray, but it results in slavery. And God has come that we may be free from slavery, that our heart would truly be his. And so Hosea goes to Gomer. She hasn't turned. She hasn't got herself clean. She is still loved by another lover. She might be in the very act as Hosea approaches. She hasn't done anything yet. And Hosea says, I'll go. Just on another note, as I said, this picture is twofold. We cannot wait for our communities to come to us. We cannot wait. I cannot wait for Hornsby to come to me. God did not wait for us to come to him. He is a pursuer. He goes after people because it's real love. It's real love. We can't wait for Narendra to clean itself up and to get pretty and nice to come to church. For us to embody the gospel is to go after them, to love them, to open our homes, to serve them, not to wait. Because when Hosea goes to Gomer, there she is, loved by another, still in slavery. And Hosea says to her, I'm going to purchase you. He says, he tells her, you are to live with me many days. You are to live with me forever. The marriage is back on. Unbreakable, unshakable, unstopping, never ending, completely exclusive, intimate. You will live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same towards you. In another portion in Hosea there, it says, I will know you. And we all know that in the Bible, the word know is a little bit more than know. It's I'll know, like we'll know. We'll consummate the marriage again. We'll be close again. We'll be sexually intimate is the picture. The most intimate you could ever be. He says, I don't care what you've done. I'm purchasing you back. I don't care how far you've fallen. I'll pay what it costs to have you as my own again. This is the gospel. This is the picture of God for people. When Jesus came to earth, God was kneeling and stooping into humanity. Philippians chapter 2 says that although he was in very nature God, he took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself, even to death on a cross. God didn't say, I'll fix you from a distance. God did not say the marriage is off. God did not say because you have run away, that's it, you frustrated my plans. No, God was always going to send one on his behalf. He would always come in Jesus. And in Jesus, he comes into humanity on his knees, into the muck and grime of all our mistakes, of all our trespasses, of all our iniquity, of all our sin, of all our brokenness. You know, this morning it might not just be about anything that we've done, but there's a brokenness, am I right? There can be a brokenness in community because of things done generations before. It's all a price. It all costs something, and God has come to reconcile people to himself. On the cross, he is proposing to people again, I will be your husband. I will bring you home. Romans 5, 8 to 11 says this. God demonstrates, embodies, and shows his love in this. While we were still sinners, having not cleaned ourselves up, having not even turned, having not even given God an inkling or a thought, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, the marriage is on, shall we be saved through his life? The place where there was death, the place where there was no life, where the ground was not fertile, great is the day of Jezreel. Because God, through Christ, is causing life to spill out again. He is causing where there was death to be life. He was causing where there was brokenness to be wholeness. Where there was a division for there to be oneness. Are you one with God this morning? Or have we allowed things to creep in? He says this, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The party's on. Let the banquet begin. If our hearts are soft towards God this morning, let nothing in between. Do not let anything in between your heart and the Savior. I'm going to invite the flute. Can we get the... Sorry, I forgot your name. Cindy. I believe that God wants to cover up turmoil in our lives. I believe that if there has been any division, if there has been any brokenness, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God has highlighted to you this morning any running after another lover, any looking for provision, protection, or pleasure outside of him, the marriage can be on. He says, come home. He says, I'm coming for you. He says, I love you. He says, I will not give up on you. And again, if you're feeling good this morning, it's been an amazing month, and you're right there with God, then I believe that God wants to commission you to embody that very same message to the community around us. Are you willing to throw on the smock and grab out the paintbrushes and paint the picture of God's real love for people? It's going to get messy. Because you know what? If we're to take on that position in the life of this community, people aren't going to be faithful. People are going to throw it back in our faces. You might be kind and loving towards them, and they might just still run away. Are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to keep putting yourself on the line? So I'm going to pray for us this morning. I don't want to rush this, and I'm just going to ask that God's peace comes on this place this morning. And if there is anything between you and God, then this morning, I want you to just give that up and receive what he has for you. The wedding is on. Holy Spirit, we just want to invite you into this place this morning. And we just thank you that your peace is here. I want to thank you, Lord, that though we have run in our own way and in our own shape and form, there is a real and tangible love that has come from heaven for each and every single one of us. Lord, I thank you that you are reconciling people to yourself, even now in this moment. If that's you this morning and you just want to put legs on that, I want to invite you just to stick up your hand and I want to pray with you this morning. If you have felt distant or far from God or unconnected or unrepentant and you want to change that this morning, then I just want to give you a moment to respond. So don't wait. Do you want to just stick your hand up this morning? Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. For that person with their hand up, let's keep our eyes closed, but I want to speak directly to you. It's God's good pleasure to forgive you, to cover over a multitude of sins. For everyone who is faithful in being open and honest with him and confessing areas where they may have strayed, he says, I am faithful and I am true and I am love that never stops. And this morning, you can put aside any of the things that have been burdening you. Psalm 32 talks about when we carry sin that is unconfessed, that the hand of God can be heavy on us and it saps our strength. But that's not his intention for you. It says later on that you can run to the arms of God and that God will be your refuge. The hand that was heavy turns to a hand that comforts and supports and lifts you up. That's the role of a husband in your life. And so God is your husband and he loves you and He restores you in this moment and he actually releases you from any shame, guilt, pain or strain in your life. You can know full well and be confident that God has restored the relationship. And Lord, for any of us, for that's true in this room, Lord, I just pray this morning that we would be restored. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you never stop. We thank you that you have a real love for us, even in the darkest of moments. Lord, may we take this message and share it with the world around us, for you are not frustrated by our shortcomings. Instead, Lord, you are faithful and good. You are our husband, Lord. We love you in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to welcome up the band this morning. Is that cool? And I want to encourage you this morning, if you want prayer for anything this morning, I know who I'm going to go and pray with, but if you would like prayer this morning for anything, or there's something that God is still pulling on your heartstrings, then I want to encourage you in this time of worship, come forward. There's plenty of people who can pray with you here this morning, and we would love to. So I love you guys. Such a blessing to get to share and to be with you guys this morning.